Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I want to begin this morning by thanking you all for the gift of time. And I know I mentioned that briefly during announcements. Although it was difficult at this point in our lives together to go away from you all, it was a real blessing to once again have the opportunity to walk with and serve the people in the James Bay Cree Nation of Wominji. They were beautiful and kind and most hospitable. And certainly the land and the waters of the James Bay coast were such good medicine for both heart and soul. As most of you know, while I was with them, I had the opportunity to learn more about the Cree culture and practices as lived out by the James Bay Cree in this time and place, including when Leonard and George took me out on James Bay. Leonard is a man who spends his life fishing and hunting. He's about my age, so he lives on the land. And his best buddy, George, is an 83-year-old Inuit guy. And he was born on Hudson Strait, so way up at the right-hand corner of Hudson's Bay. And they made me tea on an island.
It's just the coolest thing, right?
So there were some really beautiful, fun moments like that. I was invited into some beautiful, sacred places to both laugh and weep with a number of families. I was a guest at a number of feasts, and I confess I'm getting quite used to the taste of Canada Goose. Some of my time was delightful, and some of it was really, really hard, like being with Bernie's family. And all of it was a gift to be able to be there and serve that community. So thank you for supporting me in this ongoing work of service and reconciliation. Now, our readings this morning are so very rich. How do you pick? We had Moses and the burning bush and the call to enter into God's presence with humility. Take off your shoes. You are walking on holy ground. This passage, though, also makes a beautiful promise of hope. God's promise to free his people from slavery and bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. It's the promise of a better life ahead, a promise of hope. What a gorgeous reading that is, and a gorgeous promise. And then our New Testament reading that I read is from the letter to the Romans. And in reading those first few lines, I was reminded of Max Ehrmann's poem, The Desiderata. Some of you may know that, a somewhat well-known poem written in 1927 that begins, "Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence, as far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons," and it goes on from there. There's a beautiful rhythm and cadence to it all about a good life. It's a rather straightforward, clear wisdom on how to live a better life, almost, but not quite as good as these words to the Romans, on how to live a good and faithful life in community. Words so good that may I suggest you look it up on the computer, print it off, and put it on your fridge, right? As a beautiful daily reminder, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Boy, do we need to hear those words in this time, right? Outdo one another in showing honor. Be patient in afflictions. Persevere in prayer. Good, straightforward words on how to live faithfully and well. How to truly love your neighbor. What a better world we would live in if more people took these clear and straightforward words to heart. Put them on your fridge. But I want to specifically focus on Jesus and Peter this morning. As you all know, these last several weeks, we had Jesus invite Peter into trust and to step out of the boat and walk on the water. And then we had Peter witnessing Jesus healing many, many people. He saw Jesus feed thousands with just a handful of loaves and fishes. And last week we heard Peter clearly declare that he understands Jesus to be Messiah. So we've had lots of stories about Peter. And so now this morning, our story picks up from there, and Jesus is teaching and preparing the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and be killed. And on the third day, be raised. This is the great saving work of Jesus, of course. But Peter, God bless him, a true friend with a huge heart, his huge love for Jesus and his desire to protect the work and ministry of Jesus, well, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get what Jesus is talking about. And so he wants to protect Jesus from these horrible things, like any friend would want to do. He wants an easier and a better road ahead for his friend and his Messiah. But Jesus' harsh reprimand, "Get behind me, Satan," I think testifies to the weight of all of this, even for Jesus. Because for him to say, "Get behind me, Satan," speaks to the fact that it would be tempting to choose a different route, right? Here's the easy path. Ooh, it looks good. That looks hard. So he says, "Get behind me, Satan." It's not a slam against Peter as such, but it's naming the temptation to do the easy thing. And that's not the route that Jesus is called to. And that is basically not the route that we are called to either. God called Jesus to do this incredibly hard thing, to accept the path ahead of suffering and crucifixion, in order to show the world that God's love is even more powerful than death, to save us from ourselves and the path that our own choices create, to spend forever with us. So God called Jesus to do this incredibly hard thing for all of those great reasons. But then Jesus goes on to the next bit, and it's a hard call both for the disciples and for us. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." A life of faith is a joy and a delight. It makes the good stuff better, and it makes the hard stuff bearable. But it is not always an easy path. And Jesus calls them and all of us to make the harder choices, to love when we may not feel like being loving, to give when we may not feel like giving, to reach out when it's easier to just live in our own little bubble. As Jesus is offering us something so much bigger than just the joys, the comforts, and the conveniences that this world has to offer. He is offering us a life of grace, a life of mercy, and a life of love, both now and in the life to come. And he is inviting us to offer that to others as well. It's not only his gift to us, it's his gift that he's saying for us to give to others as well. It's a gift beyond all measure. May we not only say yes to it, and to sometimes having to make hard choices and do hard things on this beautiful life of faith, but may we have the faith and the courage to invite others to join us. Amen. Thank you.